Some of us like Valentine's Day, some of us find it harder, the reality is, okay? And I was thinking about what we should talk about in terms of love today, and we're looking at God's love, aren't we, okay? And why did I've entitled this, What is Love, okay? And the reason I did that, I can't remember the show it was, but I was watching a show on TV, and there was a teacher, I think, who was at the front talking to the children and said, we cannot define love. We don't really know what love is. And I thought, that's what many people believe in the world. Love is something undefinable, this wishy-washy thing that we feel. It's not definable. When love is love, that's the latest thing, isn't it, as well? And there's no definition of what real love is there? There's no definition in the world, but we know there is a definition. I don't know whether you've watched the film Jerry Maguire. I have not watched it, but I have seen the clip. There's this famous clip where he speaks to his wife, I believe it was at the time, and after a series of events, he says to his wife, you complete me. Okay? And often in the world, this is the kind of love we're looking for. We're looking for another significant other to complete us. When I find that right person, I will be completed. Or whatever it might look like, okay? That completeness. And my thing this morning will be, actually, what does complete you? What does complete us as people? And really, that's the love of God. It's God in your life. We're going to get to that in a minute. So, how do we define love? I had some wonderful slides. They're not going to be up there. But fortunately this morning, I did print out some notes. As in last time, they had no slides and no notes. So anyhow, we need to look at God. In 1 John 4, verse 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So what's the definition of love? God is love. In other words, everything about love is encapsulated in Jesus and in what he did for us and who God is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so my first point is this. We're going to think about the fact that love is beyond imagination. And I asked a couple of our chaps this morning at the beginning to read the Bible for us, so you got to hear someone else. And so firstly, Miladin is going to come and he's going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19 for us. Thank you so much, and for being willing.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen. Thank you, sir. That's great. So, this scripture ties back to the song we were singing earlier, doesn't it? How wide, how high, and as Gene was saying, thank you for that word, Gene, really tied in well with what we're going to say this morning. The first bit of this reading, if you look at it, shows you that God, it's possible to have God living in you, okay? It's amazing. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, and then it says, I pray out of his glorious riches, you'll be strengthened through with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. In other words, because of Jesus' death on the cross, he sent his Spirit, and when we accept what he's done on the cross, he comes and lives in us. Now, there is a gap, isn't there? There's a God-shaped hole, I believe, in all of us. And that's a longing. It's a desire for love, but God's love. And often we cram that God-shaped hole with all kinds of things. It can be an addiction, it can be a wrong relationship, it can be TV, it could be anything, to stuff down that deep longing that's inside of us until we find God. And God is the one that will complete you. That's what I'm saying this morning. Yes, relationships are wonderful, and someone else can complement you, help you to be a better version of you, encourage you, challenge you, draw you on. But at the end of the day, you won't find your happiness unless you find that God-shaped thing and find God to fill it. Don't stuff other things in. The world says stuff money, junk, all kinds of things in that hole in your soul. But only God can fill that hole. Is that true? I believe it to be true. And when you find that, your other relationships actually will be better, won't they? Okay? You are made for relationship. Actually, we're here at church because we need each other, don't we? But primarily, we need this relationship. We need God. We need each other, don't we? And that is what it's about. Completeness comes from that. Amen? God's love is bigger. Okay, I'm going to go to that, you know. And in Greek, I'm going to tell you an interesting story about this in a minute, though, as well. God's love is bigger. In Greek, there are five words for love. We have one, don't we? Okay, we only have one word for love. In Greek, they have eros, which is the word for romantic love. It's the love we kind of celebrate on Valentine's Day, passion, romance. Okay, there's philia, which is the word for friendship or shared love. Okay, then there's storge, which is the word between love of family members. So I don't know if you want to go say that to your brother or your sister, say, I storge you, because it's a bit of a weird word, isn't it? Anyway, then there's agape. Agape is that kind of love that is selfless love, love for everyone. That is the love that is beyond. That is the God type of love, agape love. And then there's another love that I didn't know this word. Well, I looked this up to find all the Greek words. There is one called mania. I don't know whether that's how you pronounce it, M-N-A-N-I-A, which is the word for obsessive love, actually, which is interesting. We talk about people having a mania, don't we? And it's obsessive love. That kind of love is probably not the right kind of love, is it? Okay. So the love that God has is agape, and we see it described in this scripture, don't we? Okay, I'm going to read that little bit to you again if my phone wakes up. And it says this, doesn't it? I pray that you will have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the goodness of God. Now, that kind of says to us, this love is beyond. It's beyond what we can know and understand. It's beyond even what we can feel, yes? Okay, it's like, way bigger. And yet, he then says that you may know this love. So though it is unknowable, God has revealed it to us, hasn't he? He's revealed it to us, he's given it to us, and we can know it because his spirit lives in us, doesn't it? So though we can't kind of get God, he's so big, so vast, and his love is so big and so vast, like Gene was saying, I'm loved. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Doesn't matter what your future looks like. Doesn't matter what's going on right now. He says, I love you. Before I formed you, the song we sang, before the world began, I loved you. God delights in you. He made you simply for the pleasure of knowing you. Guys, I remember hearing this years ago. I'm saying guys a lot. I said it in the classroom, saying to someone the other day, I need to stop saying guys. Anyway, the point is, I heard this years ago. Someone said it to me. It affected me deeply. God made you simply for the pleasure of knowing you. Do you get that? In other words, you might feel worthless at times. You might feel unaccepted. But all that God says, you are intrinsically of value to me, and I love you simply because I want to be with you, spend time with you, and know you. That relationship is amazing, okay? And so though this love is overwhelming, you can know it. You can know it. Human love may fail, but God's love never fails. Amen? Okay, so the first point was a love that is beyond, a love that is unimaginable, and yet we know it. And then there's selfless love. John 15, 12 to 14 says this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. God's love is a love that is self-sacrificing, yes? Okay, in the world today, we talk a lot about self-love. And there's nothing wrong with that. We've actually said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself very much, you won't love your neighbor very well. That's a truth. However, we kind of go the other way to some degree. We're so focused on ourselves that we no longer give that self-sacrificing love. And Jesus demonstrated that love, didn't he? And he said it here. The greatest love is when you will give something up for the sake of another person. And what did Jesus do? He gave up his life for you and me on the cross. He died, he took all of our sin, all of our pain on himself because he loved you that as much. If you were the only person in the world, he would have done it for you because he loves you that much. It is utterly selfless, and Jesus demonstrated the entire extent of his love on the cross for you and for me. When those nails were being drawn into his hand, knocked into his hand, he was thinking, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this so you can be forgiven, so you can have a relationship with your Father, so that you can once and for all be known and know that you are loved. Amen? So it's a self-sacrificing love. I'm not going to talk much longer because I'm aware this morning we have some refreshments and we have kids in. Kids, I hope you're enjoying your craft at the back. Please carry on and enjoy. So finally, love defined. I'm going to ask Fred to come and read to us now the best definition we have of love, I believe, in the Bible. You'll know this well. People read it at weddings often. Thank you, Fred. Thank you for being willing.
Sorry. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from verse 4 to 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails.
Amen. Wow. Thank you so much. Amen. What a great scripture. What a great reminder of what love is. When you look at the world, I mean, when we even look at ourselves, how do we measure up to that love? Love is often defined as a feeling, an emotion, isn't it? And it is. I mean, honestly, there has to be a measure of emotion involved with love. However, it is also choosing to love even when your feelings don't follow. You know, I'm sure some of you have been married sometimes. Those feelings have been here. But at other times, those feelings are here. And on those days, you still choose to love your spouse, don't you? You go, well, I don't feel it today, but because I know what God has done and what God has put together, I choose to continue loving. I make a choice of my will to continue loving through it. Amen. Okay, so God wants you to know that you love as a choice. In the end of this scripture as well, before we get there, something I learned years ago as well, take this scripture, take out the word love and put your name. Matt is patient. Matt is kind. It's a good test of what your love is like. Matt does not get easily angered. Not sure about that. And when we do that, we can say, God, because we don't know how to love. Do you know how to love? I don't. I only can love because God loves me. And it's the only way we're going to be able to love other people is when the Spirit of God lives in us. I mean, there's a measure of love in all of us, isn't there? But that more pure love lives in us, that agape love, when God is in us. And he will help us to love in a better way. Okay? And so, we, at the end of this scripture then, it goes on to say, love never fails. But guys, I know that we're sat here this morning and some of us would say, I know love failed. I know it didn't work out. I know that there was pain and heartache and all those things, yes? And we know, we've seen. But what kind of love failed? Was it God's love? It wasn't. It was human love. When we look at other people, humans, we fail. We break promises, yes? Okay? We break hearts. we destroy trust. All of those things are within the human soul, aren't they? And we do it to each other. The only solution is forgiveness, isn't it? You know, Jesus gave that on the cross. And that is an act of love. It's a choice to love and to forgive and to heal broken hearts. But ultimately, God's love will never fail. So when you feel my human friend, my human spouse, my teacher, whoever it might be, has failed me, their love has failed, God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. My love will never fail you, okay? And so this is what you need to remember. God keeps his promise. God can be trusting, and he will never leave you. Amen? Know that this morning, that through those broken-hearted moments, through those difficulties, God loves you. And so I want you to think about three things as we finish this morning. That ultimately, who completes you? Who completes you? Is it God? Or are you stuffing other things into that God-shaped hole? And if you are, maybe say, God, I don't want that thing anymore. I want you. Because it says in the Bible, God has placed eternity in the heart of man. In other words, he's made that place in you. Okay? Know that God's love is beyond our love. It's unimaginable, and yet we can know it because God lives in us. It's wider and higher and deeper than we can imagine. And he gives self-sacrificing love. He died on the cross. If you don't know Jesus this morning, ask him into your life, and you can have that relationship that knows you've got a friend. Whatever's happening, whatever's going on, he is with you. And then finally, God's love is unfailing. When human love fails, when relationships are difficult, when whatever goes on in your life, he will never fail you. Amen? And so let's just have a prayer, and we're going to finish with a song then. But this morning, just bring yourself before God for a moment. And maybe there's things you need to say to God. And if you need to come forward for prayer at the end, come and see me or one of the elders, and we'll pray for you. But let's just have a moment.